Amen. Thank you, Brother Robert. Thank you, praise team, for that wonderful worship this morning. It is good to be with you at Emmanuel Baptist, and it's especially good to be with you today and not have to preach Christmas messages. I just want y'all to know I can preach something other than Christmas, and so I'm excited to be here with you. And I really enjoyed last Wednesday night. I hope you'll make an effort to come in and meet with us on Wednesday night as your church undertakes a Wednesday night worship time, and I think it's a grand opportunity, so I hope you'll make an effort to be out Wednesday and join us as we continue to worship the Lord in the middle of the week. I want to share with you this morning out of the book of Genesis chapter 12 for our passage today and give you a few thoughts about improving your sense of direction. Genesis 12, beginning in verse 1, the Lord's word shares with us. Now the Lord said to Abram, "Go forth from your country and from your relatives and from your father's house to the land which I will show you, and I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you, and I will make your name great, and so you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and to those who curse you, I will curse. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed." So Abram went forth as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him. Now Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. Abram took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his nephew, and all their possessions which they had accumulated, and the persons which they had acquired in Haran, and they set out for the land of Canaan. Thus they came to the land of Canaan. Abraham passed through the land as far as the site of Shechem to the oak of Moreh. Now the Canaanite was in the land. And the Lord appeared to Abram and said, "To your descendants I will give this land." So he built an altar there to the Lord, on which he had appeared to him. Then he proceeded from there to the mountain east of Bethel, and he pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. And he built an altar there to the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. And Abraham journeyed on toward the Negev. A family had come to a place in their lives where they needed to make a transition, and they were moving from a community that they were well entrenched in, and they were going about 1,200 miles away. And so they packed up all of their stuff, they gathered all of their belongings, then they rented that big U-Haul truck, and they put all their belongings in the U-Haul truck. And on the appointed morning, the mother and dad gathered up all the children, and they loaded them in the truck, and they could not find the cat. Well, you know how cats are. When you want them, you can't get rid. You know, you can't find them. When you don't want them, you can't get rid of them. They're just who they are. If you want them outside, they want to stay inside. If you want them inside, they want to go outside. That's just how cats are. They looked everywhere. They couldn't find the cat. They looked with the neighbor's yards. They couldn't find the cat. The kids were crying. Mother and dad were upset. The cat had been with them a long time, and they were so disheartened. They told the neighbors, "If you see our cat, please let us know. We'll make arrangements to have that cat shipped to us." And they made their 1,200-mile journey. 3 months after they had moved into their new home and had unpacked all of their belongings, they'd gotten into their normal routine, and they truly had given up their pet cat for loss. They heard an ominous meowing outside on their front porch. They ran to the door and opened the door, and lo and behold, there was their cat. Don't tell me a cat ain't got a good sense of direction. Sometimes in life, we see things and discover things that kind of go against the grain of what we understand. We must remember that each of us are traveling on a journey. We're making our way through life. And it is important for us to be able to navigate through the passageways that we are called upon to walk. Our children in VBS are learning this summer about the great creator of all the universe and how he set every star in place, and how earlier the navigators used the stars to circumvent the ocean, to cross the ocean. Even today, they stay in their places and they are markers for us to gauge and guide which direction we are moving. How can we in our lives come to a place where we are improving our sense of direction? We don't know a lot about the call of Abram. Scripture just tells us the Lord spoke to him and he answered. The Lord gave him instructions and he followed. The Lord told him, "This is where I want you to go," and he did his best to get there. He must have had a sensitive heart, listening to the voice of God, in tune with the very heart of who God was. Abraham wanted to know what God's desires were. He wanted to understand where God would have him be. And so God asked Abram at this point, to make some significant changes in his life. Now, if you read this, this is what's taking place. God asked Abram to leave behind the security of his broader family. His parents, his grandparents, if they were living, his extended family, as it were. God said, "I want you to leave them. I'm going to show you a new place." God asked Abram to leave the familiarity of a community in which he lived and go to a land he had never seen. God said, "I want you to leave behind everything you've known and depend upon me and trust me." And so, for Abram, this was a great leap of faith. It was a great step of faith. He was to embark on a course that would change his life. God asked Abram to make some significant changes in his living. One of the greatest ways that we can build a better sense of direction in our life and improve our sense of direction in life is to have the courage to make changes. Oh, we just hate that word. It's just such a bad thing. But you know, we make changes in a lot of our areas of life. Technology's changed. We've kind of adapted to that. The dwellings we lived in have changed. We've adapted to that. The food we've eaten has changed. I mean, when's the last time you went out to the smokehouse and, you know, and started slicing bacon? No, you don't do that anymore. You go to the refrigerator and rip open the package. And nobody's complaining about that, but it's changed. One of the greatest challenges we face is summoning the courage to make changes in our life that will move us to a place that is closer and more distinctly in line with the will and purpose of God. It takes courage when God says, "I want you to go." It takes courage when God says, "I want you to do." It takes courage when the Lord gives us a specific assignment, a specific direction to walk, and it is distinctly, uniquely different from everything we've known. God may ask you to change those that you're interacting with in life. He asked Abram to leave his family. He asked Abram to leave all his relatives behind and go to a new place. God asked Abram to trust him. Go to a land he had never seen. And so, if we're going to surrender ourselves to the purpose and plan that God has for us, it may involve changing a location, changing a job, even changing a career, that we might be more in the center of God's purpose and plan for our lives. God made a promise to Abram. He told him, "I'm going to give you a land that I'm going to show you." Which is kind of interesting. He's going to give Abram a land, but you've got to go see it. You got to get there. Abram could only find this land if he was willing to trust God and depend that God was leading him to a place where God wanted him to be. God promised, "I'll make of you a great nation. I'll make your descendants multiply to the number of the sands of the sea." He promised, "Your name will be great, and I will greatly bless you." But these promises did not happen automatically. They depended upon the opportunity of Abram to embrace God's truth, to enact upon God's word, and to believe that God would be true to what he said. So Abram had to take that step of faith and believe that God would provide. We can improve our sense of direction when we have faith that will lead us farther than we can see. We are a tangible people. We like to touch things and feel things and know that it's solid and firm beneath our feet. But sometimes in faith, we have to make that leap of faith, that step into the darkness. Because faith is about trusting what we cannot see. It's about embracing what we cannot necessarily hold in our hands. Faith is not about having the goal in your hand. It's about having our God in your heart. And it is that faith that will lead us beyond the ability of our sight. It's about believing that God has great plans for you and that He is able to bring those plans about. Scripture tells us over and over again how that God has a purpose and plan for our life. He told the prophet in the Old Testament, I know everything about you. I know your beginning. I know your ending. I know every day that you live. I've got something planned for you. And I believe our God is that great today. He has a plan and purpose for each of us. I've shared with you before that the last thing on my agenda was ever becoming a preacher. No, I wanted to become an automobile mechanic and wanted to work in the automotive industry. And before I graduated from high school, I had a letter. I should have kept it, because just to prove it to you, I had a letter from the Cadillac dealership in Houma, Louisiana, of all places, Brother Sam. And they extended to me a job. Come down, you can work for us. We'll train you. We'll provide for you. You can become part of the company. You know, and I got these great visions of me. Greasy hands and greasy coveralls, driving home in a Cadillac every day. That's just the way it would be. Well, that wasn't God's plan. And I had to give up that idea. I had to give up that thought in my mind because God had something else in store. And I had to believe that He truly would be with me. It's about believing that God has your best interest in His heart. We get this misconception about God sometimes, and we think we have to twist His arm or plead with Him so that He might open the right door or move us in the right place or bless us in the right way. Folks, God wants to bless us. He desires to bless us. But the greatest blessing we can find is being in the center of His will. Wherever it's at, whatever it's doing, to be in the center of His plan and His purpose for us. And so improving our sense of direction is learning to trust in Him with a faith that will lead us farther than we can see. It's about believing that our God is able. He's so great. He can bless us in spite of our past mistakes. I don't know about you, but I've made two or three in my life. Okay, I'll be honest. I've made two or three this morning. How about that? You know, just the way it is. We've all messed up in life. But our God is so great, and His forgiveness is so marvelous that He can cleanse us and restore us and renew us and give us the opportunity to begin again and have a chance to be successful in the work He's given us to do, in the ministry He longs for us to have. God promised Abraham, I'm going to bless you. He says specifically, I'm going to make you a nation. I'm going to bless you. I'll make your name great. And you will be a blessing. He means you're going to be a blessing to others. He's telling Abram, I'm going to do great things for you. I'm going to do great things through you. But as you go through life, I want you to be a blessing to those whom you come across. So Abram heard God, that God was going to protect him, that God was going to be with him, that His grace would be extended to him. He didn't choose Abraham because Abraham was a superior human being. No, that's not why He chose Abram. He chose Abram only because of His grace. It wasn't because Abraham was exceptional. It was because he was exceptionally needy and God loved him. And God blessed him. And as Abraham began to understand God, Abraham felt the blessings of God, and everywhere Abraham went, God blessed him. Everything Abraham did, God blessed. The story of Joseph in the Old Testament is he was sold into slavery, sold by his brothers. And by the way, you know, we criticize Joseph's brothers for selling him into slavery. I can relate to those brothers. I understand. They sold him into slavery. Then he ends up in prison. And everywhere he went, God blessed him. And when God blessed Joseph, He blessed all those that were in contact with Joseph. Everything Joseph did was blessed because he was where God wanted him to be. He was doing what God desired him to be. His attitude was such that God could use him in life. We improve our sense of direction when we build a life that is a blessing to those who travel the road with us. Now, you've met some of those folks. Oh, they're hard to work with. They're hard to be in the room with. You serve on a committee in your church, and you think, oh, Lord, please, don't let this person be on that committee. They're always negative. They're always critical. They're always complaining. Nothing's ever good enough. Nothing's ever right. They just have that cloud and the little peanut character over them, you know, and it's always like that. And that negativity spreads. And then you know those other folks that you love to serve with. They work. They're enthusiastic. Their spirits are bright. They're optimistic. They're positive. They have faith to trust in God no matter what's going on. And it's because their outlook is such that they just exude the very presence of God in their lives. Abraham was supposed to be that one. Our lives become so much more meaningful when we choose to become a blessing unto others. I want to be one of those folks that people want to work with. I want to be one of those folks that people want to serve with. I want to be one of those folks that people don't mind rubbing shoulders with because they feel positive. They feel encouraged. Abraham was to be a blessing unto others. We can improve our sense of direction when we go through life understanding that we find a great sense of peace. We find a great sense of freedom when we provide a relationship to other folks that blesses them because they've been with us. It's wonderful for you and I to put things and people in their proper places. It is much more rewarding to us personally to value people and use things. And for you and I, we want to be a blessing to others. They need to see and sense and feel that they are important to us. Abram was to be a blessing to those he came in contact with. For you and I, it's about making memories and not making fortunes. The greatest blessings that we have is when we choose to extend ourselves and give ourselves and invest ourselves in the lives of others. One of our great political leaders of days gone by kept a journal. In his journal, on a particular day, there is an entry that says these words, "Went fishing with my son today. Worst day I've ever spent." His son also kept a journal. And on the exact same day that the father had written those words, "Worst day I've ever spent," the son wrote, "Got to go fishing with my dad today. Best day I've ever had." He was making memories. He didn't realize he was impacting the life of his son. Didn't realize he was blessing somebody else. Because he had forgotten how important it was to become that blessing to those that you walk the journey with. Scripture tells us that Abram was 75 years old when God spoke to him. I don't know what Abram did up to that point. He was probably a good man. He was probably a decent character in life. It may well be likely that Abraham was beginning to think about the future, beginning to think about death and dying, beginning to think about the long-term effects of life, maybe the circumstances of life, the implications of burying some of his family members had caused him to pause and think about, what is this thing called life? What's this all about? But it is a wonderful testimony that at 75, Abram chose to surrender his will and his purposes for God's intent. He committed himself no matter what it cost. He committed himself no matter what the sacrifice. He was willing to give up everything that he had been comfortable with so that he could follow the Almighty God into an unknown land on an unknown journey. You want to improve your sense of direction? Then you must be willing to practice obedience at any age, at all cost.
There is no age limit on being obedient unto the Lord. It doesn't matter if you're 99 years old. Nobody, please don't lift your hand this morning. Mr. Billy, keep your hand there. It doesn't matter how old you are. There's no limit on being obedient to God. It doesn't matter how young you are. You're old enough to understand, God said, and you're old enough to be obedient. And for you and I, at all moments in our life, at every aspect of our life, we must choose to surrender our lives that we might be obedient at any age, at any request, at any response. We must have, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Our God demands that we're obedient because He sees further down the road than we see. He demands our obedience because He knows what holds tomorrow. We are never better off in life than when we are in the center of obedience to God, no matter what it may cost us. We may have to give up a position. We may have to choose not to take a promotion. We may have to make a transition in our community. But if it's an obedience to God, it is the best, most wonderful thing we can imagine. Abraham gave up all the security of his past. He gave up the economy of his past. He gave up all of the relationships of his past so that he could be obedient unto God. He was willing to do it at all cost, at any age. There's one final aspect to this text that we need to remember. Several times in these verses we read, the Scripture tells us that Abraham worshiped God. He built an altar there. He built an altar there and worshiped the Lord, called upon the name of the Lord. It seemed that everywhere Abram went, when he stopped, he built an altar and worshiped God. Now, it may not tell you a whole lot, but I want you to grasp this. Abraham is journeying. He's a wanderer. He makes his way way up north. He's coming way down south. And everywhere he went, he stopped and he worshiped God. He made provisions to worship God. He made time to worship God. He took the necessary steps that his family could see him and participate with him in the worship of God. So everywhere he went, he paused to worship the Lord God of all the ages, the one true God who had revealed himself unto Abraham. Because Abram knew the importance of maintaining that close personal relationship with the Father. Do you want to improve your sense of direction in life? Then you must build a better life through a commitment to continual worship before the Lord. Folks, we can never give to the Lord enough worship. We can never bow before Him enough times. We can never raise His name in praise enough times. We must have an attitude about us that goes through life that we want to worship. Worship should become so important to us that we're willing to change our plans so that worship is not interrupted. Oh, Brother Barry, but what about vacation time? What about traveling time? Well, hey, you know, God's kind of omnipresent, so it doesn't matter if you're at the beach. God's there. He's, you know, and you can worship Him wherever He is. And so what we need to learn to do is to make sure that we practice a worship of God wherever we are. I do believe that Sunday worship, Wednesday night worship are wonderful. We should come together as a body of believers and we should sing and praise and pray and celebrate our faith. But in those times when we cannot be here, wherever we are, we should still be in worship. I can remember distinctly being on vacation with the kids when they were younger, the boys when they were smaller, going to the beach. Oh, and the sun was great. The waves just lapping upon there, that sound, that crashing wave, and the breeze, the smell of that salt water. It was just wonderful. So on Sunday morning, we looked around. There's nobody else there but us. And on this particular Sunday, we took our Bible. We gathered there on the beach, just the five of us. And we worshiped the Lord. We read His Word. We sang and we prayed right there on the beach. And it was wonderful. It was marvelous. Because it was an aspect of worshiping God. You and I can have a better sense of direction in life when we invest ourselves in worship, when we become willing participants in the celebration of the Almighty, wonderful God. Abram chose to leave everything behind and follow God. He surrendered everything he had, everything he was, and became obedient to God's plan and God's purpose. He was willing to put his confidence in God and follow God's leadership, change the very direction of his life so that he could find where God intended him to go. He walked in faith because he couldn't see the land of Canaan. He didn't know where the land of Canaan was, but God led him there and he walked every step. He was somebody that simply became a blessing to those along the road of life. God blessed him and Abraham blessed others. Abraham worshiped God wherever he went. He built an altar, he bowed his head, he bowed the knee, and lifted his hands in praise to the Almighty God of all the ages. I can't tell you where God's going to lead you. Some of you won't be here next year in this church, because the Lord's going to open doors for you. The Lord's going to open possibilities for you. And you're going to make transitions in your life. And I hope and pray that when God opens those doors and God provides that opportunity, that you will seek His leadership and seek His will. There'll be others that perhaps come to this church in this next year because God's leading them here, leading them to worship, leading them to serve, leading them to minister here. For you and I, it's about being obedient and faithful to where God wants us to be, and to be willing to make the necessary changes in our lives that reflect our faithfulness unto God. And when we do that, we will be walking the same path that Abraham walked, because we're trusting in God to lead us, to guide us, to protect us, to move us to where we need to be so we can best serve Him in the world that He created. So what about you this morning, your sense of direction? Maybe you need to take a little more time to spend in the resources listening to the Word of God. Maybe you need to spend a little more time in prayer, seeking to hear the voice of God. Maybe you need to invest yourself a little more in becoming that blessing in the pathway of life to touch the lives of others by what God has instilled within your heart. Maybe you need to invest yourself more diligently in the worship of God everywhere you go. Dear friends, it's a journey. God's given us the opportunity to walk this pathway. And if we walk it in accordance with His will, we will show others this is the way. Walk in it. Just stand for our invitation. Father, as we come to our time of invitation this morning, how we pray that You would lead and guide our hearts. Father, help us to surrender to You as You seek to change us, to move us, to direct us. Father, to instill within us Your desires, Your purposes, Your plans. I pray, Father, that You would, Lord, You would impress upon our hearts a longing to know You, to know Your Word, a desire to worship You in spirit and truth, and to do so that the rest of the world may see our faith and may be encouraged by our faith. Father, I pray You would help us to be that blessing to those that we travel this pathway with. May they hear our words of encouragement. May they feel the love we have for You and the love we have for them. And may they experience the faith that we have in You as we interact with them on the pathway of life. Father, help us to worship You in such a way that our hearts are challenged and encouraged, our spirits are ever uplifted before You, that we truly might become the Abrams of this day, who walking along the pathway encourage others to walk with us, and join with us, and serve with us as we surrender our hearts in faith to the Almighty God of all the ages. Lord, maybe this morning You would desire to touch the life of someone here, and draw them unto yourself. Perhaps this morning, Father, there's one that seeking direction, seeking leadership. Lord, I pray that here at this altar, they would discover you and discover your word, and they would feel your power and your presence. Perhaps, Lord, even today, you would instill upon the heart of someone that this is the church, this is the place that you want them to serve. We just ask, Lord, that you would move in each of our lives this day. We pray in that most wonderful, powerful, perfect name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen.